Good to have you with us tonight. You can be seated. This sounds hollow, real, something. I don't know. Work on that and see what happens. Turn to Genesis chapter number 8. Genesis chapter number 8. Once again, I appreciate the comments. Several people have said that the learning of the, we just tend to call them Bible stories like they're little children. You know, we hit the tops of those stories and we really don't get much more out of it than that. And so I'm trying to let you know, not that I have the in-depth scoop on all of this, but a little more than just knowing the ark and he got a bunch of animals on there and they landed and started a whole new world. It was a little more than that. And so I'm hoping to teach us a little bit. But I do want to talk about that, about the flood, more as when we already talked about what led up to that last week and how long it lasted. Just a little over a year exactly, to be honest with you, except for the days that Noah got on early and when he finally got off. And so you'll also find out that that rain lasted for 40 days and 40 nights from up above and down below. Okay? The foundations of the earth were broken open, and the canopy above the earth, it also broke. And so they were getting rain, if you would, from both directions. It had never rained before, which came as a shock to a lot of people, I'm sure. And so we read here in the Bible how old Noah was. This is not guesswork. We know how old he was when he got on. We know how old he was when he got off. We know that he had three boys. Now, I'm assuming, when I say that, I'm letting you know I don't have Bible for this. And so I'll let you know when I don't have Bible. I'll say, I've always believed, or I kind of think, or I assume, but I will not tell you if it's Bible if it's not. And so don't go around quoting me. If it's not Bible, you may not want to do that. Somebody approached me the other day and said, preacher, the trouble seemed to come in threes. And I remember teaching that, and I don't have any Bible for it. I think I have enough Bible to prove it, but not enough to fully stand on, say, beyond a shadow of a doubt. I think you'll find out when Satan attacks, when troubles attack, they normally come in threes, minimum of threes. And I can show you, for instance, is in the Bible. But here we have Noah gets off of the ark, and you have to imagine what all has taken place. Yeah. Not what has taken place. That was devastating. But what is now going to start changing also. I want to talk about that. Genesis chapter number 8, if you would, please. Can you hear me? We doing okay? Yes. Wonderful. Genesis chapter number 8, look at verse number 15. We'll begin reading there. Genesis chapter 8 and verse number 15. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. And every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, ready, here we go again, after their kinds. Not after their species.
Yeah, right.
There are could be hundreds of species under a kind of an animal.
Right.
Take people. Good grief, look at all of us.
Yeah.
So are we that many different species? No, we're human beings, a kind, if you would. So watch what he says. Went forth of the ark, verse 20. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took every clean beast. Remember, we found that out, that God, he didn't just take on two by two, two of every animal. No, he took on seven twos of clean animals, male and female. But of the unclean, he took on one pair, male and female. You got that? Male and female. It was Adam and his wife, male and female. His three boys and their three wives, males and females. Every animal, his male and his female. That's the only way you can procreate. So we seem to be real confused about that today. Verse 21, and the Lord smelled the sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for or because, why not? He'd have to be doing it all the time. Why? The imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. That's very important. Watch here at verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, shall not cease. Climate change. Does this come as a shock to you after what the Lord just said?
Yeah.
In some places, there's a lot more cold.
Wow.
And I know, it just comes as a revelation, doesn't it? In some places, it's a lot warmer. In those places where it's a lot warmer, sometimes it's not quite as warm. And other times, it really gets warmer. In some places, it's cold. And in those same cold places, sometimes it's not quite as cold. And other times, it's really cold. See what man has done? We just keep changing the climate all the time. It's because of us. No, it's not because of us. And the world will not end until there's a great judgment on this earth. Now, so what do we see here? The doors are open. I want you to imagine, when you're reading the Bible, don't let your imagination run wild. But there are certain things that you should think about that would deepen your perspective of what God did or what Noah went through, for example. Yeah. Noah gets off the ark. Understand what he saw before he got on. He takes a picture, panoramic picture, very familiar with his surroundings, knows the trails, knows where his house is, knows where all this is. He gets on the ark. A year later, the door opens up, and God says, time to get off. I want you to go and I want you to replenish, ready? The whole earth.
Yeah.
The whole earth.
Yeah.
Noah and his wife, three boys and their wives. The whole earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he gets off the ark, and can you imagine? And I want you to think about this. He gets off. What would be the first thing you'd do? Before I got off, I want to see. Because it was all covered by water. Remember, the tallest mountain was covered by at least 22 and a half feet of water, if not more.
Yeah.
So everything was covered by water. Everything that looked familiar is not that way anymore.
Yeah.
There's no sound.
Yeah.
No bugs. Yeah. No animals. Only in this ark.
So
outside of there, absolute quiet. No trees, no bushes, no nothing.
Yeah.
Can you imagine getting off and looking at that? You better trust in God. And so he gets off there, and the first thing he decides to do, I need to build an altar to God to show him my love for him and him getting me through this. Okay? And so he gets off the ark, and what do we see here? God remembers Noah, opens the door, Noah walks out, and the whole world is empty. Doesn't look like much of a future, does it? The whole world has been destroyed. By the way, after the tribulation, this whole world will look like a vomitous mess. And then the Prince of Peace will come back and establish a thousand-year reign. We call the millennial reign, the thousand-year kingdom age, whatever. All of those would be proper. And come to find out, similarly, when we come back from heaven, this world ain't going to look anything like we left it. And we're going to come back, and it won't shock us. We'll have our new body. We'll be with Jesus. But imagine what this world is going to look like.
Yeah.
You read Revelation, you're basically reading seven-year period of time. Do you understand that? So what happens here is this. God says repopulate the entire world. Those eight people that got off of that ark, repopulate the whole world. It almost sounds like going and win the whole world back to Christ.
Yeah.
How's that possible?
Yeah.
Well, God said it can be done. And by the way, the proof is we are still repopulating the whole world. If we don't listen to abortionists and people saying we don't have enough food to feed everybody, that's not true. You know, governments even pay people not to plant on certain acreage just so they can balance the markets out.
Yeah.
And we're short on food?
Yeah.
Then lighten up a little bit.
Yeah.
So what happens here is this. Animals begin to wander off. Please understand. Now there are seasons. Cold and heat. We just read that. We come to find out that they've never been used to this.
Yeah.
Never been used to this. As they wandered off, some got into climates they were not used to. You know, they actually tell us, like woolly mammoth, they found them absolutely perfectly preserved in ice. Now, what kind of a dumb animal would stand long enough to freeze? That's not what happened. The world had all of a sudden changed. That which is farther from the sun and in colder climates, if they were in water at that time, they froze. I told you before, my wife and I, maybe you can try this too. We were in Maui, went to the highest point in Maui, which I think was 10,500 feet above sea level, and we found fossils,
yep.
Ocean fossils.
Yep.
You'll find them all over the world as high as you want to go.
Yes. Yeah.
How in the world did that happen? The flood.
Yes.
That's what happened. So we find out here, we begin to see, oh, now there's going to be seasons. Let me ask you a question. If you were in a world where there was very little trees and things to make shelter of, and now animals, we'll talk about that in a minute, their nature is changing. A lot of things are starting to change, and now it starts to rain. Can you imagine what would happen? The sky's getting dark again. What happened the last time that happened?
Yeah.
And so God gave him his word, but being the way that we are, I wonder if they went, he said it wasn't going to flood anymore. He didn't say it wouldn't rain. He said it wasn't going to flood anymore. You imagine knowing them first time they felt rain after getting off the ark? And thunder and lightning. And it rained like it is here, like for weeks on end. I wonder what he thought. Oh, no, not again. God, you made a promise. I don't know. That's just me. That's the way I think about it sometimes. But if I'm out somewhere and God said, look, I'll never let it flood again. Okay, wait a minute, it's raining.
Yeah.
Last time it rained, it flooded.
Yeah.
So what would you think? So here's Noah on all of this. So Noah gets off and gives an offering. He built an altar and used those clean animals. Clean animals.
Amen.
By the way, there's a difference between an offering and a tithe.
When
it comes to a tithe, that's 10% of anything and everything that belongs to God. That's not up to you to choose how good it is or how bad it is. It's just, that belongs to God. But the offering, that should be the best you got. That should be your best, is the offering. And so the same thing here, he took of the clean animals. God was pleased and decided not to destroy every living thing again. Now remember, he said the reason he did this, because the imagination of man was wicked constantly. So he had to make a promise or he'd be constantly destroying us. So watch what happens here. Go look at verse number 21. And the Lord smelled the sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for, or because, the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. I'd be destroying him every time they turned around.
Yeah.
So God said this, neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. So we're talking about a worldwide flood. Not a local flood, a regional flood, a state flood. I'm talking about a worldwide flood. He said, I'll never do that again. But we've seen floods. We've seen floods in California, whether they deserved it or not, I don't know. And we've seen floods in other places of the world. He says, see, God's not keeping his word. No, he said, like I have done. Worldwide flood, he wasn't going to do that. Now, I want you to jump down to chapter number 9, verse number 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you, now watch how things begin to change. This is after he gets off the ark. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hands are they delivered. God gave Adam dominion over everything when he was in the garden.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Now God said, okay, but you're going to have to take it now. They're going to be afraid of you, and their nature's changing. Your nature's going to change.
Yeah.
Now you're going to start eating meat. Thank the Lord.
Yeah.
Now you're going to start eating meat, because up until then, all animals and people on the earth were vegetarians.
Yeah.
Nature changes.
Yeah.
So watch what happens here. Go down to verse number 3. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you.
Yeah.
All the men said, yeah. And as the green herb have I given. So just like the green herb used to be for you, now meat will be that way.
Yeah.
You were living on that. Now you can live on this.
Amen.
But hold on. Watch what he says. But the flesh, verse number 4. But the flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shalt thou not eat.
Yeah.
You cannot eat raw meat. So you men, you know, you have one hair on your chest and you think you're a man because you eat raw meat and, you know, there's blood flying everywhere off your plate. You're really not supposed to do that.
Amen.
Why? The blood is the life of the body.
Yes, right.
So you're eating the life. I don't care if it's an animal. You're not supposed to do this.
Yeah.
Of course, being, what's the word I'm looking for? Cannibals. You're not supposed to do that either. So our Catholic friends and Lutherans that say, talk about you're eating the flesh and drinking the blood is absolutely contrary to the Word of God from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So that can't be right. So what do we see here? Every animal in the world that was just on the ark, along with eight people over a year, everything was well. They were all getting along. They didn't have them pinned down and chained down so they couldn't move. And these big dragons and these big animals from the prehistoric times. That's not true. We're on there. But they were probably babies. What made them think we had to be, 500 foot tall? And you know why they had those big teeth? Yeah, to eat fruit and stuff. Oh, you believe in evolution? Oh, I'm sorry. Caught you completely off guard. See, we've been told that the reason they have such big feet is because of all the weight. You ever seen a horse's ankles? About that big around. To carry about 1,800 pounds? So that doesn't carry water, okay, what they say sometimes. I know you're not used to thinking that way. Animals will now have the fear of man. You ever notice an animal in the wild, not domestic animals? I have domestic people walking around, domestic animals, picking up their dog stuff with a plastic bag on their hand. So I'm not sure if it's the animal teaching the human or the human teaching the animal. But I got to thinking today as I was watching some woman walk two dogs. One looked like a poodle something or another, and the other one looked like a something or another. And she was in all of her ladylikeness, bending over to pick up a bunch of stuff with her hand in a plastic bag. And I thought, I wonder what other people in the world think when they see that.
Yeah.
You've got food on leashes that we would probably eat.
Uh-huh.
In Vietnam, the only dogs we ever saw were the ones on U.S. military camps. What happened to the rest of them? Yeah, cats, like, no such thing as a cat. So, because we know where they go, right? So what happens here is this. Animals will now become vicious. They're not only afraid of man, but now they will actually have a problem with man, and man will have a... Look, if you would, please, in verse number 2. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the ground. Isn't it shocking how we're so shocked that dogs attack people sometimes? We say, well, that's the way they've been trained, to a point, but it's also their nature. It is their nature. We want to domesticate everything. We can't even domesticate our own kids. Upon the move of the earth and upon all the fish of the sea, your hand shall be, hand have they delivered. Go down to verse number 5. And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. So they're going to be against you. You're going to be against them. The hand of every man's brother will I require the life. Now we got something else going on here. He said, okay, nature has changed, and there's going to be times when there will be murder. Now, please understand, there's a difference between killing and murder. In the military and places like that is killing. Even God sanctioned that in the Old Testament over and over again. It really catches us off guard when we read about people in the Middle East and the way they treat their enemies. God instituted that a long time ago. Even our beloved David and Joseph and people like that, they slaughtered people. And when they were done, God said, don't let anybody live. Rip open the women with children. Kill every child, every man, old that bends over, kill them all. God said that. Your loving God said that. See, it's the same thing we do with sin in our life. We let those that don't threaten us right now, we let those sins live, and they come back to kill us later on. Okay, let's get back to Noah. Okay, now, for those of you that I taught, I think it was 2 lessons on dispensationalism. You remember that? No, you don't remember that. I taught it one time. I teach one time. You don't ever remember that. There are 7 major dispensations. Now, when you hear a person say, I believe in dispensationalism, you have to understand, what do you mean by that? There are seven major dispensations. There's innocence, conscience. What we're talking about right now that's being instituted here with Noah is human government. Then there was the law. And then we come to find out there was grace. We call it the church age. I don't like to call it grace because there's always been grace. But we call it the church age. Then the tribulation and then the millennial reign. Seven major dispensations. Some people will tell you under each of those dispensations, though, there's a different way of salvation. Nah. Not true. If you understand the definition of dispensation, you'll find out that it's absolutely true. And you'll find out that in every dispensation, we blow it. God has given us every possible way to prove to him we can live good enough to be saved, and we blow it every time. Every time we blow it. And it's not like it's confusing because there's only been one way of salvation from the time of Eve to the last man that'll ever live. There's only been one way of salvation. Always will be one way of salvation. And so we find out here through all of this, we're getting ready to institute now human government. God's going to allow people to govern themselves. And one of these things that he gave them was this thing about murder. If you murder somebody, they need to murder you. That's a shocker, isn't it? You find out when we get over into the law, if someone kills somebody in your family, it is your job to kill them. I just can't do that. God said, that's what I want. So you go, why? God has to have a reason.
Amen.
We think because we're so, you know, we're so loving and really, then how come we hate people? We're not as loving as we think we are sometimes. So here's what goes on here. We come to find out man begins to hunt for meat for the first time in his life, verse 3 and verse number 4. Until this time, man and animals were vegetarians. Vegetarians. They eat leaf eaters. Okay? That's what they were. Not only do the seasons begin to change, but the nature of animals begin to change. But human government is set into motion. Look at verse number 5. And surely your blood and your lives will I require at the hand of every beast, and I will require it at the hand of every man of the man. At the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Look at verse number 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. That's a command. That's not a suggestion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now later on becomes absolute law under Moses and a lot of other things too. By the way, for rebelling against your parents, becoming a drunk, you were to be killed. Boy, just think of teenagers nowadays. They'd be in big trouble. So the death penalty is now commanded. If someone killed you, you were demanded to be killed, at least under the law you were. Cain was not put to death for killing his brother Abel. There was no law for that yet. It didn't make it right. But he did not trespass God's laws because there wasn't a law for that yet. Now in human government, there is. You find out that Lamech killed also, and he suffered a lot for that. So we find out here under the law, not only for murder, but for smiting, cursing your parents, kidnapping, adultery, sodomy, and rape.
Yeah.
You were to be killed.
Yes.
You know, a lot of these sound real familiar in our world right now, don't they? So what happens here? Why does God demand that a murderer be killed? Because you attack the very image of God when you kill another person.
Yeah.
Go down to verse number 6. Watch what he says here. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Excuse me. For in the image of God made he man. God said, when you attack another man, it's like you're attacking me.
Yeah.
And God made it very clear. This is what he told them. So God would not put up with that. Excuse me. Give me a glass of water, will you please? So now what happens here is God gives his covenant the rainbow. What a wonderful symbol that has been twisted. Look at verse number 9. Go down to verse number 9, same chapter, verse number 9, thanks. Starting verse number 9. And I, behold, I will establish my covenant with you. This is a promise. Okay, that's what a covenant is. With you, your seed, after you. That would be us also. With every living creature that is with you, of fowl and cattle and every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by waters of a flood. neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. There will be local floods, always will be. Now watch, verse 12. Excuse me. And the Lord said, this is the token of the covenant. So I'm going to make you a promise, and here's the symbol. Here's what you can look to show you that I'm going to keep my word, which maketh between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. Verse 13, I do set my bow in the cloud. It shall be for a token for a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, it's getting ready to rain, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. God promises man and every living creature never to destroy the earth again. Ready? Hold up. By water. Because we learned, I believe it was last week in Revelation, at the end of the world will be cleansed by fire. Yeah. It will rain fire from heaven.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, when's that ever happen? That's what they said.
Yeah.
When God says something's going to happen, whether you believe it or not, I don't care what scientists think they're doing, but it's going to happen. Yeah. I wonder what these eight people must have thought when it began to rain again.
Yeah.
God makes a promise to Noah, a covenant, the world would never be destroyed like that again, in the same manner. But there will have been, and there will be, devastating floods all over the world. And we go like, how can God do that? Oh, you should have been here during that day. No, you shouldn't have been. Verse chapter 8, verse 21. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. To give the reassurance to Noah and all the families, God put a sign in the clouds. You ever notice some things about a rainbow? A rainbow, it only comes out when it rains. That's why it's called a rainbow. I know that sounds obvious to you. But you don't see it just because it rains. The sun has to be shining into the storm, into the rain. You look at the sun, you never see the rainbow. But when it's raining and the sun is shining, God puts his bow to remind you. And what do we think of? Well, I'll tell you something here in just a minute, but we don't think of God. It's beautiful double rainbow. Not long ago, you could see down here. What is the sun was shining here. It was raining over here. And you understand the prism of the sun and the rain. You understand that certain colors of a prism will come through. And that's what happens. And God said, I've designed that so that you will see. And everybody, when they see that, go, God did that.
Yeah. Yeah.
God's letting us know he will never destroy mankind with water again.
Yeah.
And so God, when he shines on that which devastated the world, you know, it's kind of like your life.
Yeah.
When God shines on the devastation of your life and his light comes through there, the joy and the brightness that comes through because of him is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And God gave us his word, everlasting life.
Yeah.
Everlasting life.
Yeah.
You are never in jeopardy of losing your salvation.
Yeah.
Any more than God will change his mind about that bow in the clouds to remind us and remind him. He doesn't need reminding, but let him know, I got it. It'll never happen again. God does these things for us. It should be us, first of all, God's judgment upon sin. Secondly, God is long-suffering. God said man's imagination is wicked from his youth. I could have destroyed him over and over and over and over and over again. Remember when he was with Moses? They were so rebellious. God had decided to kill all the Israelites and start all over with Moses. Thank God Moses was a meek man. Even though at times he got fed up with those people, he said, if I have to be a mother hen to all these people, just take my name out of the book of life, not the Lamb's book of life. Every human being's name is written in a book of life. Until your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, you're not saved. God knows where you are, who you are, when you were born, everything about you. But until a man is born again, you cannot go to heaven. So when Moses said, take my name out of the book of life, that's what he was talking about. Just take my life now. Get it over with. Let me die. And so we find out here, let me tell you something about this flood thing, or about this rainbow thing, okay? God's rainbow has seven colors to it. In numerology, we know what seven is, right? It means perfection. It's a number of God. That's why in Revelation 6:6:6, as high as it can get, man will never achieve seven. Though he wanted to, clear back in the garden, he wanted to be like God. Satan wanted to be like the Most High when he was in heaven with God. Everybody wants to be God. We at times want to be God. Oh, we won't say that, but we want to rule our life, make our own decisions, set up our own laws, and do what we want to do. That's what gods do. And so we come to find out here that God's number is perfect. Those seven colors are ready: red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Seven. Number of God. God said that's perfect. I like that. And so God set his bow, representing him and his covenant, in the sky. Now, homosexual flag. It's pretty amazing when you know Bible and then you hear people do certain things, you're going, how did they end up with that when God said... Their flag stands for the spectrum of human sexuality and diversity. It used to have eight colors to it. Guess what number they brought it down to? What's man's number? Six. They have six colors in their flag. Those six colors are, watch, the devil is the great imitator. He has a kingdom. God has a kingdom. He wanted to be God, and then there is God. He has his Trinity. God has his Trinity. He wants to, he comes in Revelation on a white horse, but it ain't God. And then later on, you come to find out that God, Jesus Christ, comes in on a white horse, but the devil comes in just before him. He's always imitating. He has his gospel of things that save, and God has the only gospel that saves. So we find out he's always imitating. And wouldn't you know it? He found a way to imitate the bow in the clouds. Now, they can't get in the clouds. They probably wish they could. But what happens here is simply this. Those six colors are still red, orange, yellow, green, blue, and violet. The two colors that are no longer there, check it out. Not just pink, hot pink and turquoise. Every one of their colors stands for something concerning humans. Hot pink stands for sex, and turquoise stands for magic. They did away with those two, believe it or not, because they found a hard time finding the proper colors and dyes to make that work all the time. So they changed it to six colors. Still trying to imitate God and not quite being able to pull it off. So God begins to change things with Noah, and everything begins to change. Nature changes. Atmosphere's changed. Mankind has changed. His nature's changed. Got to replenish the whole earth. So guess where men go during storms and rainfall and lightning, and there's no shelter that has been built yet? Guess where they go? Caves. It's where cavemen come from. We bought into that because some teacher told us that's what happened. I showed you, according to God's word, that there were people not too many hundreds of years right after Adam that were making instruments, farming tools, organ, musical instruments, building cities. And yet we have been told we come from, I don't know, maybe you came from a monkey, I don't know. I was told I come from a one-cell amoeba. I don't even know how to spell amoeba. I thought that was a vitamin you took or something. I don't know. Is that omega? I don't know. Anyway, so what happens here is this. It's the number of man. Noah gets off the ark and God has destroyed everybody because of their rebellion and sinfulness on the earth. God said, I'm going to start changing nature. Man starts living less and less all the time. Remember, Methuselah lived. Adam and Methuselah's life overlapped by 200 and some years. Methuselah lived to the very year of the flood. That's pretty amazing. So he knew Adam and lived just before the destruction of the earth. You imagine what all he saw? He was there during all the violence. The reason he wasn't on the ark, he didn't live long enough. Enoch walked with God, and then he was not. Now, he died middle age, about 300-some years old or something like that. Poor guy. You understand? We keep wanting to live longer. Oh, I wish we could just live longer. Oh, science has found a way to live longer. Really? I mean, is that what you're looking forward to? Please forgive me for sounding so down. I really don't want to. Why would anybody want to live 100-plus years in this filth? Why? But we keep hoping science one day they'll make that, they'll freeze our bodies and put us in a chamber somewhere. And yeah, well, you better hope you're safe, because the chamber you're going to next is going to be a little warm.
Well, come on.
Doing the best I can, brother. Now, the next time we're together, I want to talk to you about this. Noah's drunkenness. Now, these are the things that interest people we don't really have answers for, but I want to talk to you about it. What was the curse on Canaan? You wouldn't believe what some people say. So I'm going to tell you. The three main races of all the world. There are only three main races in the whole world. And then we'll talk about the Tower of Babel. So you don't want to miss the next one. Now, I will not be here. I will be here next Thursday, but I won't be teaching next Thursday. I want you to understand something. If you read the Bible to find out and criticize, to try to prove it's wrong, you'll never come to the right answer.
Yeah, that's right.
How can two walk together lest they be agreed?
Right. Yeah.
He's Almighty God, you're not. So
Amen.
When you disagree with God, you're the liar.
Yeah.
Let God be true and every man a liar.
Yeah.
If you disagree with God, I am not taken with you because you have a lot of degrees after your name. You can have more degrees than a thermostat, as far as I'm concerned, and help you a bit. Educated people are such snobs at times. Because when they don't know what else to do, that's what they do. Do you know where I went to school? Where? I guess I'm supposed to panic all of a sudden. Education and knowledge is not to be used against people.
Amen.
It's to be used to help people.
Yeah.
If not, it's no good at all.
Yeah.
So Noah gets off this ark. There's nobody around. We'll find out next time he plants a vineyard. Why he got drunk, I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know. I'll tell you what I think I do know about that next week. Then you come to find out the Tower of Babel goes exactly against what God told him to do. But man, if you stop and look at it, and I've been around for a while, we always have a better idea than God. We have a better idea than God about marriages. We have a better idea than God about raising children. We have a better idea than God about churches. Then the Bible, let's make up a different Bible. We have a better idea. Our ideas are so much better than God's. Now, we won't come out and say we have a better idea than God. We just do things differently than God said because we think we know better. And every time you trust people in the world and start following them, you'll find out 3 to 5 years later they'll change direction again. It's a shame. So one of these days God is going to say, if you would, getting ready to shut the door. You better get in. Oh, how many years are you guys going to keep preaching that?
Yeah.
I mean, it hadn't happened yet. Noah preached for 120 years. Nobody believed him.
Yeah.
120 years. Nobody believed him. A preacher of righteousness, the Bible says in the New Testament. And nobody believed him. And he and his family and a bunch of animals got on this boat.
Yeah.
And everything changed when they got off a year later. Everything started going in different directions. And Noah's boys started the three main races in this world, which is something none of us really want to talk about. It's Bible. But we're such a knowledgeable society. Yeah, but things have changed, preacher. Oh, don't I know it. Well, things aren't like they used to be. Too bad.
Yeah.
So you have your answers. I have my answers. Trouble is I have Bible to back mine up.
Amen.
Get to know your Bible. I can't imagine Noah living all those years.
Yeah.
Going through all that devastation. The shock that he must have gone through when he walked off of that boat.
Yeah.
Then all the animals left. Him and his family were left. There were no trees or shrubs or fruit trees anymore. You're going to have to learn how to hunt animals. Wonder how they learned that. Wonder how they learned how to skin an animal. Tell you right now, I don't know how. I'd find him and hang around him is what I'd do. Because he kills stuff all the time. So. Killing little Bambi. Good to eat it. Okay, there you go. Good to have you here. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you so much for the Bible.